Welcome to Nutmeg Nation with Carlene Humphrey.
Hi, I'm Carlene, and this is Nutmeg Nation. I am your host, and I have with me on Zoom Dr. Diego Humphrey, and he's in Oklahoma. Hi, Diego.
Hi.
Dr. Diego.
Hi, Carlene.
How
call
are you?
Call me Uncle D. That's
I'll
just
call you
fine
Uncle D.
Right
okay.
Now. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we made the professional title already, and that will take care of that. Going forward, Uncle D.
So tell me, for those that don't know a lot about St. George's University, what is it about the school that brings so many students to the country?
Well, basically, the school started with Charles Mordecai. He was attempting to go to medical school himself, and then he became professionally as a lawyer. But then he had his idea together with his father to start off a medical school. It turned out to be in the Caribbean, eventually in Grenada, eventually. But to provide access to many of the good students, actually, who were trying to get into medicine and was not able to do it. And fortunately, he met with Eric Gehry, our prime minister at the time, who also had a fantastic idea to try to promote education in Grenada. And there came up with that off-island, offshore for U.S. medical school. And so the first chartered class was, I think, 1977. It took off from there. Right now, the majority of students that started the school were American. And the agreement or arrangement that they had is to start providing scholarships to Grenadians. Unfortunately, I was among the first Grenadian that went into the medical school. It was five of us. And lo and behold, somewhere along the way, the other four dropped off, and I struggled through the whole process and eventually got my MD.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was, and I think I remember, it was what, Charmaine Steele, Jennifer Edwards, Ray Charles, Clinton Lewis, and myself.
You remember everyone in your class?
Everyone, yeah, because it was a special group, and we, you know, everything was new to us. As a matter of fact, we did not have the pre-med or master's degree to go into the school itself. So they joined up with Truett McConnell College in Georgia, Cleveland, Georgia, and they allowed a pre-med program designed for us as Grenadians. And then that's how we were able to make the first semester into the school, accepted into the school itself.
When you think about med school, a lot of programs, like you either study in United States or Canada, like if you were in India and you come here, you can't just practice medicine. It doesn't
right.
interpret the same way. I guess it's because of the system, right? Like you were able to study the American system in Grenada, which makes it easier to study anywhere in the U.S., right?
A somewhat difficult thing for us, well, for me as a Grenadian and not a U.S. citizen, I could not, and that's how I end up in England, I could not, after finishing the first 2 years of training in Grenada, I couldn't come up to the U.S. to start the clinicals, you know, so we end up in England and doing the clinical rotations out there and then come back to the U.S. after graduation, essentially.
Oh, okay.
It was a difficult time because growing years for the school and for the students in there.
Like the test of the actual program itself.
That's a separate topic it's of its own.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Because, yeah, it was a difficult thing in every step that we had to go through. You know, initially, U.S. hospitals were very rejectful of our students. You know, they didn't want to accept our students to begin with. You know, and through a lot of work and arrangement that Dr. Mordecai had with professors, even some retirees, and through arrangement with them where their practice, they were able to get our students to, enter the program, like residency and training like that. Most of the students, they just work the dickens out, work very hard. And once they get into any program, they just continue to work like crazy, I would say. And that just showed them, even myself personally, that's what happened. Once I get into the program, it took me quite a while to get into the U.S. Residency training. But once I got in, you just work yourself to make sure that you're well known for what you are, essentially.
Yeah, you're trying to make your mark in the program.
Yeah. I mean, you get a chance and you make the best of it. As a matter of fact, after I finished my residency in internal medicine, I was one of the first they chose for the cardiology fellowship because of the features that I showed as a resident in internal medicine.
Talking about your education, it obviously stems from where growing up in Grenada and, going to school and then realizing that this is something that you want to do. So I read that your aunt was your kind of like a little bit of an inspiration or someone that helped you decide that this is something you wanted to do.
Well, yes, that's correct. Teacher German is what.
Yeah, Teacher German, yes. bless her heart.
Bless her heart. And may she continue to rest in peace. When she did district nursing in Bolio, I remember vividly when she did the clinic, there were certain days that they do different types of clinic and I happened to wander into the clinic and I just got a sense of what they were doing, taking care of wounds and soul coming there, or different things like that. So that's where the caring part went into it for me.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it, though, if I had to pick on one thing, it's just the gift that I got, really.
Yeah.
Because things opened out for me in certain ways. I'll give you a little story, actually. You may not know that, and a lot of people might not know that. I never really liked school, starting off in Brush Grove.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
I learned that. I learned something new.
Yeah, it's a funny story. Yeah. We grew up, Nez house, my grandmother's house, is right next to Johnson Estate.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, there's a little river, a little creek that runs across the road. And right in the estate, there were lots of things to do. And so when mommy sent me to school, that was Brush Grove RC school at that time. I never really went to school. I just stayed on the estate and played and things like that. And, I would go home after school or lunchtime, because we walked up from Brush Grove to the to Nez house on Shot Hill. And then mommy would come up and say, "What did you learn in school today?" ABC, mommy, ABC. So for after a while, it was just ABC alone. And then they didn't know much. So they get a sense that he was not going to school. And a matter of fact, the workers on the estate told mommy he was not going to school. 10 o'clock, they would see him playing by the river or things like that. So finally, she brought... It's a funny story, but she brought me to this boyfriend that she had, was a police officer. He said, "You need to go to school, otherwise you'll put me in that little jail in there." And he showed me that little 2x2 cell. My God, I cannot go in there here. From that time, I started going to school, and it took off from there. I was just knowing everything, and everything just fell into place.
Wow. I mean, what a way to really give you a picture of your life. How old were you when he told you that?
You bring a thing back to mind now. By the time mommy moved me down from Brush Grove to Grand Anse, I was like 13 years old.
Yeah.
And at that time, to tell you the honest truth, I had difficulties even spelling my name. My middle name was like Sebastian.
Yeah.
I was not even able to spell my name.
I didn't even realize that that's your middle name until
that's
I read it out.
Name.
I was just like, "Oh, Sebastian." I'm like, now I know why Sebastian has his name. That makes sense. Yeah. Sebastian's my cousin, Uncle Diego's son. But yeah, it's wow. Yeah. What a story. I find it so interesting to hear the things that we did when we were children, right? I was telling someone about me in Grenada, and I didn't skip school, but I did something. I just remember writing about this today, Uncle D. I actually, there were snacks in school. I remember this vaguely, but I think you pay like a quarter for the snack. And somehow, because it was so good, I used my bus fare to buy another snack. And then when it came time for me to go home,
you had to walk.
I don't know if I had to walk or if I had to ask. I think maybe the principal or someone had to give me money to get on the bus. And I think I got in so much trouble when I got home after that, because they're like, why did you use use my extra money, right? Because they give you money for your recess snack and for your bus fare. And I just used both. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like the things that I did when I was younger. So it's just interesting that you weren't even going to class. You're kind of playing like Tom Sawyer at the end of the day. Well, yeah. About it, you know.
Yeah, but that was, you know, that was a young age. I mean,
yeah, just, 13. That's so young.
But you know, after that, when mom brought me down to Grand Dance, it was a total different story. Then I was so serious. I tell you, the teacher didn't, you know, pay attention to what they were doing. Mm-hmm. I would go home and complain to mommy. You know, that teacher is not doing right. You know, you should send me to a different school.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so interesting. Wow. Talking about memories, like you were growing up in the 80s, do you remember the invasion in Grenada?
The invasion time, I was in England.
Oh, you were?
That was 83.
Yeah.
And that's where I was doing my clinical rotation then. Yeah. Now, I do remember though, when I was in Shape of School in the 70s, we had a lot of demonstration at that time, and I participated in some of them, you know. Mm-hmm. but the invasion time, no, I was in England at that time.
So the part I think I want to understand is med school, because you said you only did 2 years, and then did you do four years?
Pre-med. That's pre-med.
Okay, pre-med, so for those of us who don't understand med school, I thought med school is 4 years.
Right. Then, it is.
Yeah.
It
okay.
Is.
So 4 years. So explain to me the 4 years before you actually have to go and do clinical and so on.
The first 2 years is like mainly theory.
Right.
You know, so you're in a classroom, you do biochemistry, you do anatomy, and all these subjects are you know, every stage you got to go through them.
Yeah.
And stuff. And so towards the latter part of that 2 years, you start getting ready for preclinicals. You know, you start doing, like some of the students in Grenada, they would be going to the hospital under a clerkship. You know, they were working with the doctors in the hospital. But they're starting, like the medical student, they're starting to learn how to take history from the patient, how to get information from the patient in the hospital or in the clinic, for example. So like when I go down there, I even have some medical student rotate with me, both in the hospital and in the office, in the clinic down there. But then that would take about 2 years. And then the other 2 years is really detailed hospital clinical rotation. That would carry you through all the different specialties. So you do surgery, you do medicine, you know, and the different areas in internal medicine itself, you know, pulmonary, nephrology, neurology, etc. Different rotations in different ways. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then when you graduate finally, you just get your MD or your degree or DO, you know, depends on what program you go through. And then after that, you go through a fellowship, residency.
Right.
You know,
so,
and that's where you really channel yourself into whatever area that you might be interested in.
I remember us having this conversation and you said to me, it's the amount of studying you did to specialize in the heart, like to become a cardiologist is 15 years. That's a lot of time to study.
So let's say, for example, after you get your degree, you finish all medical school. So that's that first 4 years there. You go through internal medicine. So that's with the residency coming. So that would be actually, I think that's like 3 or 4 years. And then you would go into fellowship. And that fellowship is where you start cardiology or whatever special area that you want to go into. So that's where all these years come in.
And then just the funding for it, because you said you had some challenges along the way. It's like because you were part of the first program and not necessarily getting the funding. Like, I mean, med school is like a lot of money. And even at that time when you were studying, just getting the funds together, right? Because you can't work and go to med school. Were you able to work? There's no way, right?
No, I couldn't do that. I mean, and that's the thing. It's a big struggle. So part of it, but the scholarship was part scholarship in the sense that I had to, and that's why after graduation, I went down to Grenada and I was down there for 2 years, you know, after graduation.
Oh, okay.
To pay back the government, you know, that scholarship that I was given, you know, that was granted, I should say. We are poor people. I mean, there's no way.
It's a little bit of passion and a little bit of perseverance and clear determination, Uncle Diego.
And that's the very reason why I couldn't flunk out of medical school, you know, no matter what it took. Right. I was going to make it, you know, because, you know, if you didn't, you know, what else, you know?
But you didn't want to just become like a family doctor. You wanted to study cardiology. When was the time when you were like, this is my specialty. I want to do this.
That's a very good question, actually. And again, it came back to me with an incident. While I was in England, doing one of the, I think it was the ICU rotation. You may have heard while you're in the hospital, the code blue, they would call code blue. You know, so there was this arrest that the patient arrested in the intensive care unit with, you know, the heart stopped and, you know, flat line and breathing thing. You know, and then they have this code blue team. So a number of doctors, the pulmonology are the EKG technician, everybody runs to that patient and do their little part. And then the cardiologist came in and he said, you know, do this. And he called some medicine and stuff. And then, you know, the next thing after they put that medicine in, he gave the patient a shock and boom, the heart rate came back and that person, you know, started to breathe and stuff. I said, God, that's what I want to do. You know, and that's where the idea from cardiology came. Once I got into residency, which is the general medicine itself, after the 3 years of training, I applied to get into a cardiology fellowship.
And where did you get into
cardiology? That was in Philadelphia, Episcopal Hospital, which had a joint program with Medical College of Pennsylvania. And that's where I did that residency and fellowship. Even when I left Grenada in, 86, what was happening, to tell you the honest truth, even though that I was working on the ward, I was a junior officer is what they termed us, because we worked under the British system. You're like house officer and you know, the bigger doctors or the trained doctors would be, I don't remember exactly what the name was. Might be.
Yeah. Well, but anyway, I mean, we're going back in history, right?
So Dr. Budlaw was over us. And then the graduates of SGU, and I was the only one there at that time, coming back with our MD, there was no upgrowth for me. You know, I just had to be there. And even University of the West Indies is really what trained our doctors in Grenada, like the Caribbean doctors.
Yes.
And then they never recognized our school as yet. St. George's University was not recognized by them. So our trained doctors couldn't really advance into that program, if you may. So all I was able to do is just be a house officer, a doctor on the ward.
Thank you for listening to Nutmeg Nation with Carlene Humphrey.